This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Be'ha'alosecha. Parshas Be'ha'alosecha begins with Aaron HaKohen's the command to go ahead and light the menorah, and Aaron HaKohen's following through on that command. The Torah tells us, Vayas Kein Aaron, and Rashi comments that the Torah added to this, and why the Torah found it so important to tell us that Aaron fulfilled the command of lighting the menorah, Melamed Shvachu Shaloshina. Now many Mefarshim question this chiddush Rashi provides from us, as obviously we would never think that Aaron would veer even slightly from the command of Hashem. And so the Svasemis explains that the nature of man is that after doing the same thing day in and day out, it can lose its excitement or specialness. However, Aaron didn't change, meaning the same excitement that Aaron had in doing the mitzvah on the first day, he had for the rest of his life as well, every time he lit the menorah. And that's an important lesson for us to consider when we do our mitzvahs. After we read the story, we come to the story of Pesach Sheni, where there were people who were Temeim Lenefesh Adam, and they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, Lama Nigara, why should we lose out? And so, of course, Moshe says, I hear you, Imdu Vashma, Mayitzava Hashem Aleichem, let's see what Hashem says. Now the question has to be raised, why did the people couldn't bring Karban Pesach ask the question in the first place? After all, once the time for a mitzvah passes, isn't the mitzvah batel? So Rav Dessler explains that even when nature places a stumbling block towards a mitzvah, one needs to possess a desire to perform it. In other words, the emotional desire, even without the physical ability to fulfill it, is essential. And moreover, when there is a higher level of desire, Hashem can bring a person to a place where he wants to go. After all, he did it with Amram Avinu. Didn't three people come to bring him a chance to perform Hachnasas Orchim beyond natural means of the mitzvah? But at the same time, a person can't walk around saying when there's a rabbinic will, there's a halachic way, that's abikursus, that's nonsense. And sometimes the Torah's rules stand the way they are. The Torah's rules may stand the way they are. The opportunity to fulfill mitzvos may present themselves. And that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to balance. That's Rav Dessler's idea. It's not about us, but it's about us expressing a desire to fulfill His will. And there's where the difference is. We also learn about the responsibility Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu v'Al-Pi Hashem Yiso, that based on Hashem they camp and based on Hashem they travel. And the Medrash Lakach Tov notes that the Torah highlights the point of Hashgachas Hashem, Hashem's direct involvement in the Jewish nation, to the degree that it does, in order to contrast our existence in relationship with Hashem as distinct from that of other nations. Rav Gifter added that Hashem's involvement with us is also dependent on the way we choose to receive Him. And hence, the rest of the Pasuk, Es Mishmeres Hashem Shamaru, that we need to comply with His words and His timing, even when it doesn't fit our nature. Part of the success of our lives, says Rav Gifter, is living with an ordered life based on Hashem's timeline. So deciding to keep Pesach in the middle of the summer, or to daven Shacharis at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, is completely not within the will of Hashem. A true Torah Jew has to understand, Al-Pi Hashem Yachnu, Al-Pi Hashem Yiso. A halachic Jew keeps a halachic mitzvah. And that's the way it goes when introducing his understanding and his appreciation for the spirit there within. And that's something we take for granted, I think, a little too much as well. We tend to be a little bit more lax. And we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves what's driving that laxity. Moshe Rabbeinu has a conversation with Yisro. And Yisro tries to leave, but Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't go away. Vayisalanu le'inayim, you'll be eyes for us. And Rashi explains that whatever we don't know, you'll be able to teach us. What is the thing we wouldn't know that Yisro would be able to teach us? So Rabbi Reisman, many years ago, quoted the Satmar Rebbe Rabbi Yoilish Zatzal, who explained that Yisro was to be the nation's expert on Avodah Zarah. Whenever the nation would have a question about Avodah Zarah and its service and what to stay away from, etc., the biggest expert to them would be Yisro. In other words, in that regard, Rabbi Reisman explained that Yisro would take experiences that he had which were not positive and use them for the constructive purposes of life. And that's a very important principle. We all have things, and we can use them in the service of Hashem. And if we do, we can go and achieve great things. Towards the end of the parasha, when things, as Rav Soloveitchik used to describe it, when things started to go south for the Jews, the Jewish group, there was a gathered group that had a certain desire. How did it happen that the generation that already received so much from Hashem, how could they have simply desired to simply ask for more by asking for meat? So the late great Baal Musar, Rabbi Leib Chasman, explains that this is one of the dangers of the influence of a chevra. Once it becomes acceptable to sit on the sidelines and complain, There's no limit to the level of complaining that happens. A person has to put himself in a chevra that doesn't complain, that sits on the doesn't sit on the sidelines. They pick themselves up, they get up, and they do, and they make sure that whatever it is, they achieve. Of course, Miriam and Aaron also, unfortunately, go through that experience, and they speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, and God responds, and He says, "You have to understand, Lochein Amdi Moshe b'chol b'sin emanu. Moshe Rabbeinu is trusted in my entire house. What does that mean?" So the late great Dayan, Reb Simcha Zelig Rieger of Brisk, asked Reb Chaim Soloveitchik the same question, who explained that while the other Nevi'im had to clarify when they were speaking in Nevuah via the words of Koham HaHashem, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to do so, since he was already assumed to speaking in the name of HaHashem by virtue of being Moshe Rabbeinu. The Brisk Rav once added that therefore no Nabi can challenge the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu has the status of a Nama. And so Miriam gets Taras, and Moshe Rabbeinu offers the very, very long tefillah, Kel Na Rafan Allah, very, very sarcastically long. In other words, he offered a very, very short tefillah. Now, how did Moshe Rabbeinu compose such a short tefillah for Miriam? Didn't she deserve something more substantial? After all, Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu erects a very long series of tefillah. So Rav Kook Zatzal explained that tefillah deserves two different aspects. One's a refinement of character traits and a deepening of awareness. The other's just a verbalization of that which has already been known to be in the inner being of the person offering the tefillah. You see, when it comes to Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu knew he needed more tefillah to help the people. He became aware of their failings, and to help them become motivated to tshuva, which they were, he offered long tefillos. At the same time, Miriam had already been aware of her error. She already possessed a generally positive demeanor. And so Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah simply served to express outwardly that which was already internally known and accepted. That requires fewer words. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read about Yehoshua, Yalavush Begadim Tzohim, this image in Zechariah's Nevuah, where Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol, was wearing soiled clothing. Rav Shechter would remind us regularly that a person's children reflect on him and his ability to impact the nation. And Yehoshua, Kohen Gadol's grandchildren intermarried, and it reflected on him, since he had the ability to impact the situation and didn't. And so hence in the vision, he's wearing soiled clothing. As were they, and who they were, also turned around and reflected on him. We have to understand, we reflect on our parents, and we reflect on earlier generations. Our responsibility is to continue to grow and make something out of that reflection. Best wishes for a Shabbat Shalom to all.